shortness of breath is related to AFib, which isn't going to come on overnight, but it can only take weeks for all that to set in if somebody goes out of rhythm, then you should go be seen. But it is, I mean, you bring up one of the real challenges with diagnosing AFib. Sometimes people get to the ER, they were definitely in AFib, but by the time they get to the emergency room, their EKG's done, they're back in sinus rhythm, and we say, well, we think it might have been, but we don't really know. And so a lot of times we'll have people wear a monitor. Like you might wear a monitor for, say, 3 days or 7 days or even 21 days. If you've got a pacemaker, like you mentioned, it's very easy because then that pacemaker will have one lead in the ventricle, one lead in the atrium. In general, that's the way pacemakers work.
Yep.
And so if they interrogate it, they can say, oh, yeah, on June 24th at 11 a.m., you know, so-and-so is in AFib for 6 hours and 17 minutes, right? And so then they ask you, hey, what were you doing? They say, boy, I don't remember. Did you feel any different? Boy, I don't remember. You know, and so you definitely got what we call asymptomatic AFib, which is it's there, it's real, it sets you up for a stroke, and if it goes on for more than a day or two, then it sets you up for heart failure.
And after a couple of those 6 hour sessions, your cardiologist says you're going on Eliquis.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Well, yeah. You don't want to have a stroke, right? Yeah.
No, amen to that. I'm taking Eliquis twice a day, and I do it with a smile on my face, doctor. Talking with Dr. John Jankowski, he is the Aspyrus cardiothoracic vascular surgeon at Aspyrus Heart and Lung in Wausau. They're having a seminar in AFib. We'll get to the details on that in a little bit. But first of all, now that we know what AFib is, we know what it feels like, we know how we can possibly get it. Most of us will have it the older we get. So what do we do to treat this, Doc, besides, my pacemaker was put in there because of a lot of other stuff, but what happens when you get AFib? How do you treat it?
Well, the treatment for atrial fibrillation is really aimed at two things. It's aimed at preventing a stroke. So you mentioned the Eliquis. So it's easier, simpler, and probably safer now that we have things like Eliquis and Xarelto instead of Coumadin or Warfarin. So almost everyone with AFib will wind up being on a blood thinner to help prevent a stroke. It does help prevent a stroke. It prevents about 60% of strokes. Or even if you're on a blood thinner, it's still possible to have a stroke. It's just less common. The next thing that we think about is heart failure. So heart failure can come from two things. It can come from a very rapid heart rate, which is kind of like you get in your car, you just floor the engine, you keep the pedal down for 3 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll take your car engine a longer time to wear out than it will your heart. But eventually, if your heart's going 120, 130 for day after day after day, it's going to wear out. It's going to fatigue, and that will lead to heart failure. The other thing that leads to heart failure is simply just the irregular nature of the heartbeat. The lower chamber just can't deal with that irregularity of the atrial impulses being so uneven, sometimes rapid, sometimes slow. It's like having an engine that's out of tune or the timing's off, right? So even with normal heart rate, atrial fibrillation will still lead to heart failure. And that's fairly recent. There's fairly recent evidence for that, and so now we've become much more aggressive about treating atrial fibrillation to prevent heart failure. Like, we don't look at somebody and say, well, your heart rate's controlled, so that's okay, so you can live with AFib. We would be much more rigorous and much more methodical about making sure someone is not going into heart failure. So those are the two things, stroke prevention and heart failure. And that can be done with medications. That can be done with something called a catheter ablation, where the electrophysiologist or the cardiology folks who deal just with rhythm problems of the heart, they insert a little catheter in the vein in your groin. They come up inside the heart, and they create lines of scar on the inside of the heart. We can do that minimally invasively with a robotic approach to the left chest, where we go in and we clip off the left atrial appendage, which is where strokes come from. So that's very good stroke prevention. And then we create scar on the outside of the heart. And we create scar because scar won't conduct an electrical impulse. So scar tissue is kind of like the rubber coating on your pair of pliers. So like if you grab a hot wire, you don't get electrocuted. that's what scar is like. Once you've cut tissue or burned tissue or frozen tissue, it won't conduct that that extra or abnormal electrical impulse that causes atrial fibrillation. So really, when we say we're creating lesions on the heart, what we're doing is we're painting lines of scar with any number of devices that will help keep your heart in rhythm.
Now, how do you and your team tell the difference between the people that just may need the blood thinners or may need this more extra treatment? How do you who are the people that, what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, that's a great question. So everybody starts out with medications, and I would say that medications are probably adequate for 90% of people, probably more than 90% of people, because they don't show any signs of heart failure. But the minute someone starts to go into heart failure, then we become much more aggressive. That's when we offer them a catheter ablation, or what we call a hybrid approach, which is where I do something on the outside of the heart and the electrophysiologist that does something a little bit later on the inside of the heart. We're very aggressive with that once people have kind of declared themselves as not tolerating their atrial fibrillation. When we do open heart surgery, so say we're doing bypass or valve surgery or any of that, almost everyone with atrial fibrillation will have something called a MAZE procedure. And that's, we're already in there. We should be very aggressive. And the stance, again, on that has changed dramatically. 10 years ago, most people having heart surgery did not get something called a MAZE procedure. Now almost everyone does, because we realize how important it is and how effective it can be in terms of preventing heart failure, preventing strokes, helping people live longer. It's changed quite a bit, and that's good.
It sounds like, again, and it backed up on my notes here this morning, Doctor, it's a real team-based approach at Aspyrus. Why does it benefit us as patients to have a team working for us as opposed to, you know, one guy like yourself?
Well, each of us, I bring something different to the table than a regular, so say a regular cardiologist can put you on a blood thinner, but that's about where it's going to stop. If you see an electrophysiologist, he can manage your blood thinner, but then he can also do a catheter ablation. Once you get to me as the surgeon, we can do something minimally invasively through the left chest with a robot, or we can do an open heart procedure. So, you know, we try to offer the least invasive treatments. So if someone doesn't need heart surgery, then we'll offer a combination of a hybrid, you know, a minimally invasive surgery and a catheter-based ablation. So that's why it's important to have so many people at the table. And so we meet once a month. We review all of the cases together. It's just kind of like a lot of heart procedures have now become team procedures. So when we do something called TAVR, it's a cardiologist and a surgeon in the room at the same time. So all these different skill sets coming together for the same patient is, like you said, it's a huge benefit for the patient.
Yeah, as one patient speaking here personally, I appreciate the team effort big time as opposed to just one. The more ideas, the better, if you ask me. We're going to get to the seminar here in just a little bit. But first of all, for those of us who, we already know we have AFib, and I'm pretty sure I know how you're going to answer the question, but I'll answer it anyway. What are some of the things that those of us living with AFib can do to make our lives better and to keep the worst stuff at bay? How do we live with this properly, Doctor?
Well, like you said, you take your Eliquis every day with a smile on your face, so make sure you take your meds. Yeah. You don't want a stroke. If you don't feel good, you know, some people start out okay, and then they go into heart failure. And so it's important to be, you know, vigilant about that. If you felt good a year ago, but now you don't feel good, it's time to raise your hand, you know, get back to your doctor, say, hey, look, I really don't feel good. Should I be having more workup? I mean, I know that my ultrasound of my heart or my echo a year ago when I was diagnosed was normal, but is it still normal? Or has my ejection fraction gone down? So, you know, even though we have lots of providers and we have a team approach, you still want to be a good advocate for yourself. If you're not feeling good, you want to get in and see your doctor and say, hey, look, you know, I know I've had this, but I'm not sure I'm doing all that well with it. And should I see a cardiologist or should I see a specialized cardiologist? You know, those are important things. The other things, you know, the lifestyle things. Obviously, no one should smoke. If you're overweight, that's not helping. If you have sleep apnea, you know, people are reluctant to wear their mask for sleep apnea, but that can really, really help. There are definitely things that a patient can do to modify their risk factors. We saw a gentleman, I don't know, it was a year ago, we met him. He was very, very overweight. We couldn't really offer him any procedures at the time because of his weight. And, you know, both myself and the electrophysiologist who saw him stressed to him the fact that if he lost weight, whatever we did would make him better. Well, we put a monitor in the guy. The guy lost 200 pounds.
Wow.
And he no longer has AFib. He came back and saw me, and I said, you know, congratulations. I don't need to offer you a procedure. Now, maybe in the future this is going to come back, but right now it would be hard to justify a procedure for a guy who's really not having AFib. Now, he's kind of a drastic example, but, you know, we really do. This is a partnership between the providers and the patient. You know, everybody has a role to play here.
One of the things that I appreciate most about what any doctor has ever told me in my entire life was about 3 years ago, the doctor, my personal provider, said, you need to lose weight. Your sugar's out of control. You're a borderline diabetic. Your heart situation is well known by you and me. You need to lose some weight. When she put it that frankly, I decided, yeah. I said, Doc, how much weight you want me to lose? She said, you need to lose at least 30 or 40 pounds. I said, I can do that. And over the last 3 years, I've lost that 30 or 40 pounds. I feel better. And boy, did my doctor smile the next time I came back and she saw my weight loss.
Yeah, we love it when patients really engage. I mean, it makes a huge difference. And, you know, that's the thing. And then we can't do that. You're the one in charge of that. And so it really does. I bet she really did smile when she saw you and was very happy because, you know, most of us at some point in our lives have struggled with weight, right? And we know how hard it is to lose weight. It's not an easy matter.
Well, just making her happy made me feel fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. That's a great thing.
So people can learn more about this at the August 27th seminar here next week. And so at this AFib seminar, Doctor, what will people learn and who should be there?
So we will talk about medical therapy. We'll talk about risk factors. We'll talk about diagnosis. We'll talk about medical therapy. We'll talk about catheter therapy, and we'll talk about surgical therapy. So we cover all of that in about 45 minutes. And when I say we, it's myself and one of the electrophysiologists. We both work together. We've been doing this for years like this. And then we save about 45 minutes at the end for questions. So it's usually about an hour and a half total. We usually start at 6:30. We're done by 8-ish. The people who should come are people who obviously have AFib. If you have a loved one who has AFib, you should be there with them. If you've got someone in your family who has AFib but they don't want to come, you should still come and learn about it and be an advocate. So we see a lot of older people there because they tend to be the demographic that has AFib. But anytime I see somebody in their 50s there, I either know they have AFib or they have a parent who has AFib, right? Mm. So, but those are the people who, you know, are probably better candidates for some of the procedures we do, but they also have a lot more to gain because they're going to live another 20 or 30 years, right? So, yeah, so anyone with AFib or anyone, you know, we even see nurses show up. They say, boy, you know, I feel like I'm seeing more patients with AFib in my clinic or in the hospital or whatever. So we'll have nurses who show up just to learn more as well.
Hmm. It's 6:30 until 8 o'clock Thursday the 27th. And where's the location, Doctor?
It's at the Point in Minocqua.
Okay, easy to find right as you get into town.
Yep, it's right there, just south of the bridge. That's the place we've been giving talks for forever. I think we've been doing this 15 years.
It's a fantastic property, that's for sure. Dr. John Jankowski, the cardiothoracic vascular surgeon at Aspirus Heart and Lung Surgery in Wausau. How would you like to leave us this morning, Doctor? I'm running out of time here this morning. I could go on for a while yet, but I know you're a busy man too, so how would you like to leave us this morning?
Well, I'd like to wish everybody a happy day. I happen to be up in the Northwoods right now. It's an absolutely gorgeous morning, and get outside and do something.
Yeah, amen to that. Doctor, thanks for the time here this morning. Really appreciate it. I hope there's a full house at the Point on Thursday.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. That, again, is Dr. John Jankowski, cardiothoracic vascular surgeon at Aspirus Heart and Lung Surgery in Wausau. Again, this AFib, atrial fibrillation seminar at the Point in Minocqua, Thursday night, 6:30 until 8 o'clock. If you have it, if you love someone who has it, if you just want to learn more, it probably will behoove you to be there.